invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We began a series last week with the introduction of five practices of a fruitful congregation. These practices are passionate worship, radical hospitality, intentional faith development, risk-taking mission and service, and extravagant generosity. Robert Schnaz, who wrote the studies on these five practices, says that each of these is critical to fulfilling the mission of the church, which we know is making disciples for the radical transformation of the world. This week, we're going to focus on radical hospitality. It's so important that each of us this morning ask ourselves, how are we doing at inviting and welcoming and supporting new visitors as they come into our community of faith? I've heard from our congregation on several occasions that we think we're a friendly church. And I have to tell you the truth. Every single church that I have ever served has said, we are a friendly church. Not one has said, well, maybe we could do a little better. So, today, radical hospitality is our focus. And it goes beyond just shaking hands with folks and talking to them during the meet and greet time. Our congregation does many things well and many things excellently. But during the message today and in the weeks ahead, I want us to think about how can we do better at welcoming the stranger. You think about the many groups that do things well. I think about sports teams, and I think about the Bulldogs. Yes, no. I think about Little League Baseball. I think about the fact that they practice from the time they're little kids, and they go and they scoop up balls, they practice batting, you know, they're always, always practicing. And then when they get into the major leagues, what do? They continue to practice. They continue to scoop up those balls. They continue batting practice. They're always striving to improve. And that's the way we need to be in the church. From those who are on staff, pastors, staff members, we need to continuously improve the way that we welcome strangers. Those who are leading committees and committee members, we need to think about ways that we can do a better job of welcoming strangers. Even those who are volunteers in our church, we need to think about a better way to welcome strangers. That's why I'm so excited about taking the bus out this week for Vacation Bible School and picking up kids. It's such a neat thing to do using a resource that we have. So during the next weeks, let's ask God to open our hearts. Let's ask God to open our minds. Let's ask God to open our spirits to experience new and different ways and possibilities for ways that we can reach out. Let's share ideas honestly and openly. Let's ask ourselves, how are we doing? And let's review ourselves honestly. I went, as you know, to visit my daughter in Maryland back in May, and when my daughter moved up there, she searched for 18 months for a church, and she went every Sunday. She went to all of these different churches of all different denominations and no denomination at all. And she finally ended up in a non-denominational church. And she talks about that church all the time. And she gives a good portion of her Sunday serving at that church. Not just 1 hour, not just 2 hours, but literally most of the day. And she is passionate about her church. And so I was excited to go and worship with the church. And one of the things that I noticed when I came was that they had a greeter at every single door of that church when I came up. Every door. They not only gave a bulletin out, but they said, "May I show you around our church?" Right at the front door. "May I show you around the church?" Well, I had my daughter with me, and she knows every crook and cranny, so she showed me all of that. The offices, where the restrooms were. She showed me the baptismal font where they were going to be baptizing people later that day. And it was really neat. I came away feeling like I had a feel for that church. And not only that, but they gave me a brand new book just for visiting the church, which I was later able to pass on to somebody else. But it was really neat. I really felt wanted and welcome at that church. During the meet and greet of that church, they do something interesting. They show radical hospitality. So they have their volunteers go around with trays of snacks. Yes, I'm not kidding. And this week, my daughter was so excited because it was these little fishies. They're not the crackers, but the kind of the gummy fishies. She was so excited. What are they called? That was it. It was Swedish fish. Yeah. And everybody got one, and it caused people to talk to one another. It's like, "Oh, I love these. Now I'm going to save these and give them to my grandchild." Whatever. They were talking during the meet and greet and just feeling so welcome. I thought, that is a really different way to offer hospitality, because you see in the Bible so often hospitality is connected to food. So it's really neat. I don't necessarily say we should give out Swedish fish in our service, but what I'm saying to you is there's creativity involved here. They were speaking to the people that were strangers, making them feel welcome. Now, radical hospitality does not just happen in a church. It's not just an accident. It's not just because we're all just nice and friendly people. Churches that practice radical hospitality pray about it, plan it, and work to invite others and to help them feel welcome and support them all the way through their faith journey, not just at the meet and greet. And out of genuine love for Christ and others, the members, the pastors, the staff, welcome and include newcomers and help them to grow in their faith. We're here today in the Spirit of Jesus. And Jesus' Spirit teaches us that we do not come here to be served, but we come here to serve others. And the question is, do we focus only on how our needs are met when we come to worship? Or do we open ourselves to the possibility that our needs are best met when we place ourselves in service to others for Christ's name? If we look at our scripture today, what I read to you, we see that Jesus is emphasizing the fact that he wants his servants to go out and to find the stranger. Not to sit in the feast and just take care of themselves and enjoy the food, but to go out into the crooks and crannies, into the darkest places, maybe sometimes into scary places, and find people who should be invited to the table. God is speaking to us in a powerful way today, saying this is what he wants us to do. He wants us to get out of the pews and to go out into the world and find those who need to hear that they are loved, who need to hear that they are cherished by God. Hospitality is one of the greatest gifts that is expressed in the Bible. In Deuteronomy, God reminds people of Israel that they were once strangers in Egypt. And God reminds us, each one of us, that we were once strangers to this place. Even if you grew up in Chatsworth, even if you were a little kid coming to VBS when you first entered this church, you were once a stranger people have invested in you. People have taught your Sunday school classes. They have welcomed you. They've loved you. They may have given you cookies, but they loved and invested in you. And God is calling us to love and invest in others. In Matthew 25:35, Jesus said, "I was a stranger and you welcomed me." If we viewed each person as if he or she was Jesus, then we go out of our way to make sure that every person feels comfortable here, feels invited and welcome. Now, many of us, like you know, have been a part of this church for a while. And I remember hearing from some folks that, you know, I can't imagine that anyone would just feel so welcome here because we're just so friendly. But we need to put ourselves in another person's shoes. And if you turn to your sermon notes, you see this lovely salmon material here. I was quite wordy this time, so you can take it home and keep reading. But it talks about the way that some strangers may feel when they come into our church. These are some of the things they think. They wouldn't want me here if they really knew me. Will they judge me? Are they all married with their families? Do they all know each other already? Will I make friends? Is everyone else smarter, wealthier, more experienced, or happier than me? Have they always been church people? Do they know I don't know what I am doing? Hospitality has us seeing people as Jesus sees them, as well as seeing Jesus in the people God puts in front of us. So, two Sundays ago, we had some visitors to the church. I was standing up here at the pulpit, and I saw that they came in after the announcements. And I thought, what a shame, because they didn't even get to hear about Vacation Bible School. And they went up to the balcony, and they sat down, and it was time to sing a hymn. And I was watching them. And I saw they stood to sing. And I saw that the woman didn't have that red hymn book. And she was kind of looking to the right and to the left. And so she stood there. She wasn't able to sing because she didn't have the words. And they sat down. And I noticed that the woman started fanning furiously. Because, guys, it's kind of hot up there in the balcony, isn't it? It's hot. When I go up there, it's too hot for me. And so she was fanning furiously. And then I noticed one of her children was leaning over the rail, looking around. I don't know what he was looking for, maybe to see how many other children were present in the service. When it came time for the meet and greet, you may have noticed me jogging down the middle aisle. I almost crashed into a few of you. Sorry about that. I was dodging people right and left. And by the time I got to the back door, I got there in time to see the back of the last one of them leaving. And I just looked and I thought, what in the world? What? Was it the fact that she didn't have a songbook? Was it the fact that it was just plumb hot up there? Did the child look around and see that there weren't all that many children in the church? What was it? What was it? I believe I'm never going to know. I'm never going to know. Now, we could say, well, you know, it's their fault. They came in late. But strangers don't always know where to park. They don't always know which door to come in. It may have been that she had quite a time getting more than one child ready for church, and they just ran a little later than they thought. We'll never know. We'll never know. But those are some strangers that we may never see again. And it happens more than we know. It happens more than we know that people feel like they have to dress a certain way to come here. more that we know that they say, I don't have any money to put in the offering plate. I don't know how to find anything in the hymn book. Which book is it, by the way? Is it red or blue or what? We have to go the extra mile to make sure that strangers are welcome. We have to go the extra mile to go out into the community and to find them and to help them come here. It may be that we say, I'll give you a ride. It may be that we say, I'll save you a place in the pew down here where it's nice and cool. It may be that we have to say, oh, could I show you where the nursery is? Or could I take you to the restroom? We have to go the extra mile. That's what happened in the scripture today. They had to go the extra mile to go out into the world and welcome people the way that Jesus wants us to welcome people. Sometimes we do things well. Sometimes we welcome people in a lovely way. I want to see hands now. How many of you met Natasha? That's a good, good group. Yeah, you're so great. You did. Okay. Natasha came by herself to church, not knowing a soul in this congregation. And she even brought her nephew with her. So Natasha was here for quite a few weeks, and I kept being surprised that she came back. She's young and she was by herself. And so finally I just said, you know, I want to get to know you better. Let's go out to dinner. And so we did. Natasha is an amazing young lady. And right now she's in Cambodia, where she's gone to live to teach children English. You who raised your hands had a wonderful opportunity to meet a fabulous young woman who in Cambodia doesn't really have the opportunity to hear very often about Jesus. She told me that she can get Joel Osteen and that she listens to him. She's the one that I passed that book along to that I had gotten at my daughter's church. Imagine if we had missed an opportunity to connect with her before she went to Cambodia. It would have been a shame. But now we can pray for her. And those of you who are connected to her on the internet, you can hear about her adventures and support and encourage her halfway across the world, or all the way across the world. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's what God wants. It's what God wants from us. By God's grace, people are ready to hear about the love of Jesus Christ. They're ready. The Spirit's out there working. The Spirit's out there way ahead of us. They're just waiting to be asked, to be invited, and even more, to be offered a ride, to be shown around, to be invited to lunch, to be invited to a potluck, to be invited to Sunday school class, to hear from you that you care. Too many churches want more young people as long as they act like old people. Too many churches want more newcomers as long as they act like old timers. Too many churches want more children as long as they act as quiet as adults. Too many churches want more ethnic families as long as they act like the majority in the congregation. Let us not be that kind of church. In the next week, let's all pray that the Lord will help us to come up with creative ways that we can invite strangers to become a part of our church family. Let's pray that we will be able to create an even warmer and more helpful environment in this church. Let's pray that we will reach out radically to the people in the community. I'm not talking about being crazy, but I am talking about thinking of new ways that we can help people to feel comfortable here. You know, when we begin to reach out in these ways, we're going to see a difference. Because Jesus has given us the example of how to do this. He spoke to the ones that no one else would speak to. He touched people that, to put it in our language, other people were grossed out by, and he healed them. Jesus ate with the poor and, God forbid, the tax collectors. He is so good. And he calls us to